Hey Sam, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Yeah, fine. That's what we're going with.
I was going to ask a dumb question, but we don't have time for dumb questions because I forgot we got like a million tweets because we spoke about Zack Snyder's Justice League last week.
I forgot that's what we spoke about. I sort of was living in this bliss of like, the DC, everything is at rest with the DC universe now. I can stop thinking about it.
They'll never let us rest, Cal. We'll be talking about this movie until we die. When may
just
I rest?
When I get out.
We can rest when we're
me back in.
We can rest when we're dead.
Okay, come on.
So we got a tweet from Riley is good. It says,
"Hi Riley.
The ancient lamentation music that plays whenever Wonder Woman does anything was so weird. It was also the exact same noise and it just wasn't mixed in properly with the rest of the score at all."
Yeah. It did feel like that kid laughing sound that you hear in every movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's bad, and I thought it was weird, and it was, like, it took me out. It was one of the things in the movie that really took me out of the film, and I'm like, ah, God, what the fuck is this? Every time it happened.
Yeah, I see what they were going for, and I don't mind it in theory, but it was clearly not on the priority list for things to fix.
It was bad.
Yeah.
But this was one of the things Snyder added in.
Yeah. But he clearly added it in from the Warner Brothers stock sound thing. He didn't like...
Well, apparently it was all rescored, like, but I don't know.
Fair enough. I don't know. But it really did seem like they just didn't care
enough
about
think,
that. And like, because I didn't mind it.
But, it was bad. Yeah. And you're bad for thinking that you didn't mind it. The next tweet from Riley is good, says, Snyder clearly just wanted to do a movie about evil Superman destroying the world, so Warner Brothers should just let him do it and get it out of his system. Hope they don't include terrible people, Jared Leto, Amber Heard, and Ezra Miller, if they do, though. Which was everyone in that scene at the end, basically, which, So just cancel
that
Deathstroke
movie. Deathstroke was like the just best person.
Cancel the Zack Snyderverse. I know the hashtag restore the Snyderverse is trending at the minute. Hashtag get rid of it. Hashtag get rid of the Snyderverse. It's bad. That's the new hashtag. Hashtag
it's fine,
that.
Hashtag let's just carry on.
Yeah.
Is what the fuck we
let's
were doing
get
after
on with
Batman
it.
Versus Superman and Justice League were both bad.
Yeah, like...
Like...
And, like, have you seen the trailer for the Suicide Squad yet? James...
I saw the, like...
James Gunn,
like, yeah.
The Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Looks amazing.
I've seen
more
the trailer
of
that was, like... that was, like, this is how we made the thing.
Oh, no. They released a real trailer, like, 2 days ago.
Okay, I haven't seen the real trailer. That
I'm
is...
pretty
that
sure
is
they're doing the giant starfish monster... as the main
from, like,
villain.
Ultraman?
No, from Justice League number one. That was the first thing the Justice League ever fought.
Okay, I don't know what that is in... But that's fine.
Looks like a giant Patrick Star. Anyway, I'm there for it. It looks amazing.
Hey, who you calling Pinhead? yeah, no, I'm down for... Shazam and Superman versus Black Adam. I'm hoping
so
that's
good.
What they do with it.
Well, they made an interesting announcement about Black Adam recently. What was it?
That they've cast Dr. Fate.
Yes.
As Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, good.
That is a very good casting choice, and I was just saying to my family the other day how cool it would be to see Dr. Fate as a sort of antagonist in one of these movies.
Yeah.
Because, like, Dr. Fate's such a... He's, like, the ultimate... Like, he's, like, such an interesting take on an anti-hero. Because he's, like... He's a hero who's got entirely his own motives and will only do what the good guys want him to do if one of them sacrifices their body to allow him to exist potentially forever. And then he'll never give it up. And he'll only do it if it serves the Lords of Order.
Yeah, it's pretty
messed up. So he's basically a bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
They did a version of him in Smallville, which was actually really good.
Nice. And I'm mostly talking about the version in Young Justice, because I am a fucking...
Which is also really...
I don't know that much.
Also really good. Young Justice is awesome. Mm.
Young Justice is very good. I need to see season 3, and I haven't yet.
Yeah, me either. Also, there's a new animated series called Invincible, which is based on the Invincible comic. It's on Amazon Prime, okay. And apparently it's amazing. So maybe we'll have to do an episode on that at some point. But I haven't fair watched enough. It yet.
We should probably watch The Boys as well. I hear good things about
it. I have watched The Boys, and I've told you to watch The Boys, for fuck's sake, Cal.
Fair enough. I didn't hear anything good about it until the second season. And then, yeah, enough people have said that I should watch it that I forgot that you were one of those people.
I was the first people.
I don't know about that.
Maybe not. But I watched it when season 1 came out. I watched it with...
Yeah, fair enough.
With James when season 1 came out. So,
fair enough. And I've seen the first episode, and I like the sort of the two perspective characters so far.
Yeah, so watch the rest of it, and we'll do an episode on it now that I've forgotten everything.
Maybe.
No, we'll watch it all, and we'll do an episode when season 3 comes out.
Nah, maybe.
Next tweet is from at Flint Monkey. And it says, I love how you started off being coy about your feelings of the Snyder Cut, mirroring how the episode you deleted from the original started. It's like you got Whedoned before you made your own Snyder. It's like you got Whedoned before you made your own Snyder Cut. What episode deleted?
I think it was the Justice League one. I think the recording fucked up and we have to do it again.
Oh, yeah. And then the episode we did of that was real bad because we recorded it, instantly lost it, and had instantly had to do it again, and all the energy had gone.
Yeah, we were so tired.
I was very upset at your computer and, by extension, you as a person.
And fair enough. I'll cop that.
The next tweet is from Riley's Good. Back to Riley recommending random shit. On the topic of long movies, I recommend Bahumbali to anyone who will listen. It's 6 hours across 2 movies. It never stops being awesome, and people don't like that I keep describing it as Lord of the Rings if it was good.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that either.
That's a trolley way to sell anyone a movie that it's going to make no one want to watch it.
6 hours is so long. I mean, I know I've watched...
6 hours is almost as long as Return of the King. So...
And it's half the length of the Snyder Cut.
God
damn. Fair enough.
But having heard nothing else about it, it makes me think that it's probably... Like, that sounds like a foreign movie, which is fine. I've got nothing against foreign movies, necessarily. But if I got to read subtitles for 6 hours, I'm going to need a fucking...
Based on the pitch...
I'm going to need to get some glasses.
Is it called The Beginning?
I don't know. The word you said didn't sound like English.
No, and I don't think it was... Oh, yeah, there's two. There's one called The Beginning and then one called The Conclusion.
Right.
It's a Bollywood film from the looks of it. Bollywood films are fucking wild.
Oh, yeah. Like, shit gets insane.
Yeah. The next tweet is from at Flint Monkey, and it's about the Black Widow being delayed. Said this movie is slowly becoming the New Mutants of the MCU. It's never coming out. But it's been delayed till July 9th, and on July 9th it will come out in cinemas and on Disney Plus as a Premier Access film.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, particularly with Premier Access, but we can all just agree that it's, like... Because it's garbage, but I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't want it to be a thing going forward, but I am actually glad it's a thing now.
Well, just because, right, it's about the same cost as a movie ticket, but the whole family gets to watch it.
So it is cheaper.
So it is cheaper, so fair enough, but on the surface, like, you look at it and you go, fuck, I don't want to pay $30 for that.
Well, yeah, especially when you look at a movie on, like, iTunes, like, you buy an iTunes movie, it's half that usually, you know.
Well, less than half. Like, it's like a third of that, and I don't need a subscription.
Yeah, yes. So, yeah.
I stand by give us one free one per year or something.
Oh, yeah, we've discussed this before.
Yeah.
But in either case, like, it's probably good that it's good that it's finally going to come out, because I have been hanging out to see it. I hope I actually get to see it in cinemas, because there isn't a single MCU movie I haven't seen in cinemas. Not one that I missed, even since Iron Man. Okay. I've been on board since then. So if this is the one I don't get, I'm going to be upset. But, you know, the streak was bound to end eventually.
Fair enough.
Follow-up tweet from @FlintMonkey says, "So the Snyder Cut gets most surprising muffin, right? Also, now that this is over, can we please let James Gunn run the DCEU and reboot it in his image? Just do it again. I want good Superman." I don't think you need I don't think you need to reboot it at this point. Just keep, like, roll it on. Like, we've got all that.
Yeah.
They got all that crap out of their system. Now just let James Gunn do a Superman movie or a Justice League movie. I watch the shit out of that.
Because, like, James Gunn is fine. I don't know if he's the right person I'd want helming this whole thing. I don't know who I would want, but...
Kevin Feige?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, that's the fucking problem, man, with Disney. Like, we'll get to it in a little bit when we talk about these Disney movies. But, like, there's a reason why they own half of all film. Because, like, they're actually fucking good at what they do. They've got the right people at the helm of the right projects.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's true. Tweet us who you would want to run the DCEU. Universe.
There you go. Put it out to the people. We've then got a tweet from Yegor John Peel on Twitter. It says, Sam rates Falcon and the Winter Soldier with a French kiss. Is that just how we're doing things here in the darkest timeline? You bet your sweet ass that's how we're doing it in the darkest timeline. It's French kisses all over the shop.
A French kiss. This movie is an under the table crotch rub.
That's fucking gross. Horrible.
This one barely rates a hair tussle.
A wet willy. And then one final tweet from John Peel. It says, "Sam, the Wonder Woman theme was written for and performed on electronic violin, not guitar. A collaboration between Hans Zimmer and cellist Tina Gyo. Sorry to nitpick, but you said guitar like 11 times."
Yeah, I did get a message from Charles saying that it was an electric cello and not a guitar.
I don't know why he directed this at me. You also said guitar. And my second point
is... I thought
it
was guitar.
A violin is just a guitar that you hold on your neck. And I stand by that. Stand
God
by it.
God damn it, Sam.
Is it got... it's all guitar. Everything's a guitar.
No, Sam, I think you'll find that everything's a drum.
Anyway, I was playing it wrong.
Brendan, what the fuck?
We can't slip into it. We gotta go. We gotta punch through.
Maybe we should do an episode on Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun.
Yes. But it's just gonna be us quoting it, saying, "Watch it."
I'm a cow doy. Anyway. all right, this is
Morning Brown.
Place.
Morning Brown. It's right, coffee.
We
you
should
fun.
Play the music.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, play the music.
Play the music. Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast about what you're watching. Maybe I'm your host Cal.
I'm your other host Sam, and today we're talking about.
Clay Jews, finally.
No. I wish. But no. Florin, Ulysses, and Briar and the Last Dragon.
Which one do you want to start with?
Don't sigh at me about the kaiju thing, man. You're the one that recommended this for this week's episode. So this one's on you.
Because we were both like, we need to just kill it a week.
Well, because we should be doing Kong versus Godzilla, but it hasn't come out in the UK yet. So that's... So I haven't been able to watch it. I have been watching. Yeah. I watched Godzilla last 2 nights ago, and I watched Kong Skull Island last night. I'm like getting back into it. Man, those two movies...
Yeah, I need to do that.
Those two movies are absolute crackers. They're both great films.
I forget... really didn't like the Godzilla. I didn't like the Bryan Cranston Godzilla. Did you watch King of the Monsters?
No, I watched the Bryan Cranston one. Really? You didn't like the Bryan Cranston one? We can't.
It sounded utterly boring. Anyway, but I haven't rewatched it, so let's. Yeah,
I was going to say maybe rewatch it. It's I liked a lot. Anyway, Kong Sky Island is a phenomenal.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good.
Beautiful film. Actually, so is Godzilla. They're both beautiful films.
Ulysses, though.
Florin Ulysses.
Yes.
What did you think, Cal?
Man, I really enjoyed this.
Me too, all round. I thought it was a fun family film.
It gave me Harriet the Spy vibes, although I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
I'm not familiar.
Just the inner monologue of this kid, and like the performance of I think her name's Matilda Lawler.
Mm.
The main kid, so good. Like she carried this film.
Yeah. I her performance was she was adorable and completely heartwarming and was the what made this movie work.
Hmm. Yeah, but and yeah, you could not have done this with a lesser child actor.
Yeah,
I was surprised at the stellar cast of this whole.
Well,
thing.
Well, I was going to say Alison Hannigan, Ben Schwartz doing something where he wasn't painful to watch. you know,
I haven't seen Ben Schwartz live in anything. I've only heard his voice work.
So he played the most intolerable character in Parks and Recreation. and maybe that's just where I know him from.
Yeah. And fair enough. But and Alison Hannigan and Abed from Community.
Yeah, Danny Pudding. Fucking the moustache twirling squirrel hater.
Who's very good. He's sort of soft love interest from the diner, played by I can't remember her the actress's name. She's from Garfunkel and Oates, and she's also the voice of Sadie in Steven Universe.
Kate McCusey or something.
Yeah. She's got one of those hard to pronounce last names.
Yeah,
but yeah, and she was great. Even the blind neighbor kid.
Yeah, though...
was pretty good.
Though a very weird... Very weird character trait.
Yeah. And, because... there is this whole, motif of... perspective and being able to look at life from a new perspective and how when you get too stuck in your own perspective, you go blind.
Yeah.
And then him being able to see again, he was a very ham-fisted version of the of the rest of the story.
Yes,
which I found charming and funny in this context.
Mm.
But I can see how bored on annoying.
I'm not sure everything about that character worked for me, but it was it wasn't bad by any means.
Yeah.
It's based on a book, this movie, I believe.
Yeah. Which I imagine didn't have as many Disney properties in it.
No, although DC characters showed up a couple of times in that. Well,
yeah.
In comic form and in that opening.
I don't think they were explicitly in the opening or anything like that. But
Green Lantern
mentioned...
was.
Green Lantern was?
Yeah, he was the last one to pop up.
Okay.
Didn't mention him by name though.
Yeah. Well, and there were things like the big penny in the comic book store, in reference to the old Batcave. and they talked about talking to your ghost dads in your Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. Wonder who that could be.
I'm just so, having like, a... it was kind of nice to see all these, like, comic references and stuff in like, a young... Like, in a family thing. Like, this seemed to be the kind of movie that would have been pitched and, like, very much put in the pink aisle.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been, like, this comes out at the same time that a blue aisle movie comes out. And, you know, you take your little girls to see Flora and Ulysses while you take your boys to go and see, I don't know, fucking Spider-Man 6.
As if girls don't like Spider-Man. So stupid. Anyway, yeah.
As if, yeah, but it was nice to see this movie that was sort of like, that felt like the Pink Isle movie, but it's about Blue Isle stuff. It's like, it was very gender neutral.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I'm just having a look, and this is a really got nothing to do with anything, but the cover for the book, they kind of replicate as the poster, which you don't see very often. And it's like, it's not obviously not a direct recreation, but it basically is. And it's, you don't really see that ever in adaptations. So I'm digging that. That's cool.
Yeah, that is
good,
cool.
Good design.
I was kind of surprised at how little Ulysses was in it.
Who is like named really... for the a self-driving vacuum cleaner.
It eats him.
Poor thing.
And I did like that his main superpower was being able to write poetry.
Yeah.
And being able to express that was just a tool to show the other people in his life that you can sort of choose to be happy. You can choose to see the world as a more optimistic place than it is.
Yeah.
Or than you feel like it is right now. Yeah, like there's a...
And that was kind of her message too, because she kept like going, you know... a skeptic just observes.
Yeah, that like you don't hope, you don't believe, you just you have to wait for the evidence. And the refutation of that, of just being like, well, you know, your observation comes from a perspective, and that perspective gives you like, it gives you your analysis, shows you whether or not things are good or bad. It's not like you don't have a judgment by just having a cold, distant scientific explanation.
You
get enjoyment and happiness from engaging with life.
Yeah.
Like, it's an interesting... I don't know, it's the sort of thing that felt pretty ham-fisted in this, but I didn't hate it. I wasn't annoyed by it at any point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. There's a movie, an Aussie movie that came out that tonally reminded me of this quite a lot, called H is for Happiness. Did you see it? Probably not. I highly recommend this to everyone listening. Try and get your eyes on the movie H is for Happiness. It is so good.
Okay. I will write that down.
Write it down, everyone. You too, listeners. This is your homework for this week.
We'll do it for Australia Day next year or something.
There you go. It's on it's on Amazon Prime if you are in Australia for free. You're welcome.
Or if you're not, get a VPN.
Did you say peer?
Get a VPN.
Oh. Yeah, that too. That'll do the trick.
Yeah. I don't really know what else to say.
Yeah, I don't
about this one.
What the evil cat CG wasn't great, was it?
No, you could tell they put all the money into making sure Ulysses looked good, which is where the money should have gone.
Yes, absolutely.
It really. I was just gonna say, like, the actual like action stuff, like the breaking Ulysses out of the lab was a bit like it did sort of feel a bit forced when the rest of the movie was just about how this family's getting along.
Well, I kind of was wondering for a lot of the movie, I'm like, does Ulysses actually have powers, or is everyone like choosing to see that? And that's like,
yeah.
And then there's the bit where he straight up lifts a human being, and I'm like, oh no, this squirrel is a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but also, it's a movie that has its big action climax being saving the superhero.
Yeah.
Which you don't often get. I mean, fair enough, the superhero is a squirrel, but...
Because this isn't really a superhero movie, is it?
No, it's very much a sort of family drama.
Yeah.
Not really drama, I don't know. It's just
not a drama, it's a... Well... Yeah, drama...
Drama's a pretty loose term.
I was going to say, drama doesn't really mean much.
Yeah, it means as much as comedy would, and I used it specifically because I'm sick of people just throwing comedy into anything remotely lighthearted and saying that that's a unifying genre.
Yeah, well, we watched a movie...
really, drama's the same.
Speaking of movies that aren't this, Brianna and I watched a movie the other day, because it's listed as a comedy, called Fighting With My Family, which is that movie about the English wrestlers, who one of them gets into the WWE. I don't know if you've seen anything about it. Nick Frost is in it. It's produced by Stephen Merchant. And it's not super funny. Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, this has funny moments, but it's not a comedy. It's a pretty serious story about, dreams meeting obsession and being the best you can be in a moment. And it's actually a phenomenal film. I highly recommend it, even if you don't give a shit about wrestling, because I don't. But it is great. So another movie I highly recommend. I also recommend Flora and Ulysses. So, go watch all these, I guess.
Mm. No, fair enough. I believe you.
I thought you might, because I'm trustworthy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got much else to say. The squirrel's cute. I like the I like that she imagines her dad's comics coming to life. Some of them are fun, some of them are stupid.
I see why they didn't take off. And that's fine.
They're uninspired.
You don't get enough out of them.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wish they had of, like, told you more. Like, I wish that, like, if they're gonna hang so much on, Incandesto, why is he not, why does he not have a better backstory?
Mm.
Like, give him something thematic with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that could have been really cool. But, it's fine that they didn't. It just sort of seemed like... Because she sort of dismisses them all at the end. And it kind of feels like it should have been the other way around. That when her dad left, she decided that, no, I've got to become a cynic. I've got to not engage with these feelings and these childish ideas because I need to grow up now. That she should have sort of turned away those fantasy characters and then accepted them back when, she saw the wonder in Ulysses. But I don't know. That's a fundamental change to the script in a movie that's
not really about that either. I don't know. It was just a good film that I enjoyed watching. And it was a nice reprieve from, as much as I like the Snyder Cut, it was a nice superhero reprieve from that.
Yeah. Now, and fair enough too. I think, I think if you, it's on Disney Plus, so if you've already got that, it's essentially free.
Yeah.
It's worth your time, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's check only an hour and a half, too.
Check it out.
Last thing, if they did a sequel, do you want a new family in New York? Do you want Ulysses fighting crime on his own? Or do you want Flora to go to New York and...
I think if you're going to do another one of these, you make it a spin-off about Danny Pudin's Animal Catcher.
But like...
or he becomes the Lex Luthor of the animal superhero world.
He goes on like a campaign to eradicate the squirrels from Central Park.
What else did we watch? Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yes. Okay. This did feel a bit like budget Avatar, didn't it?
Budget Avatar. Well, Avatar in a...
Well, like, okay, budget was a bad example. Unfleshed out Avatar.
Yeah, I see, like, with different tribes.
Well, just the cultural and visual distinctions between these different tribes, all trying to represent these sort of Asian cultures, but we didn't actually get to explore any of them.
Yeah, I guess Avatar kind of did a similar thing.
I bring that up because that's my only major sort of gripe with this whole film. Besides the Kung Fu Baby, I really didn't have any other problems with this film. I thought it was pretty good all around.
Yeah.
But I was just a little disappointed that we went to all these, like, interesting looking places and interacted with nobody because all the characters we were promised we'd get interesting interactions with were all dead. Or turned to stone, I should say. And the conflict arriving, like the conflict that came from like trying to actually pursue the quest largely came from the same antagonist that was just following them around. So
yeah,
there was no point going to all these places. It was just a pretty like well-designed little like world hopping adventure rather than, an actual exploration of a bunch of different places.
Yeah, I see that. I suppose.
I liked how all those places looked.
I was going to say it was a great looking movie, though. Is the thing? It just looked incredible.
Hmm.
And it was kind of something a little bit different for a Disney, like quote unquote Disney princess movie, too. Like I know people have said it's by the numbers, but I've never seen our main hero accidentally cause a Mad Max dystopia, which she then had to undo.
Yeah, I did like all that. I liked the actual stakes at play.
Yeah. The monsters were cool.
And I liked that the characters actually had skin in the game, that like everyone had lost something and everyone wanted to get that back.
Yeah.
I did feel like Raya didn't have enough character outside of that.
Yeah, though I could say that you could probably say that of every character.
Yeah, which is probably not a good thing.
No, but in saying that, it's one of those things where I'm like, at no point in the movie did I want that. Like, I was never asking, what's Raya's mum like? Where's her mum? I just didn't care. Like, I wanted to get on with the, like, I was engaged in the quest. So I'm not sure needed that.
Yeah, because it is about people as a whole rather than an individual.
Yeah.
It's about, like, how can you trust someone when they don't trust you?
Yes, yeah.
And being able to be the bigger person and trust someone first is hard. And that's such a universal truth that you didn't need a specific character to do it, but the whole point of telling a story where there is a main character is to give you a personalized, unique example of why the moral of this story is the moral of the story.
Yeah, and I think...
And they sort of failed to do that here.
Oh, I was going to say, I think you get that in those final moments, though. I think it comes across enough for me.
And fair enough. I just... Yeah, I don't know, because I'm... I'm sort of playing devil's advocate for not liking this film. I generally thought it was pretty good.
It's just to, create discussion. I liked that Disney took a very, wild stance, and I'm surprised they haven't been cancelled for this yet, but all the main characters just got stoned at the end. jokes!
That's a fucking top shelf stoner comedy right now.
The thing with this movie is I'm just sitting there constantly going, fuck, it looks so good. How do they make it look that good? Look at that water. How does that water move? How do they make that water move like that? I don't understand.
I think it was Claw. Claw. The town that was all on these docks and pontoons and it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And it looked so distinctly different from Tail and Spine and these other places. It just made me want to spend more time there and figure out what these people were like and why they're different. It made me want a TV show where they go on a longer quest.
I was going to say, I was thinking that when watching it, I was wondering if a TV show would have been, not better, but would have been a good extension of this story.
Well, it makes me a little sad that, this is the medium that, that the people who were making this were sort of limited to. This team was told, you're making a Disney princess movie, this is what you have to make, and they go to all this effort to make it look so beautiful and define, because I'm sure there were bigger ideas about what these places were going to represent and what the people of them were going to be like, and the unifying fact of this bigger world tragedy, is enough, I think, to hang a whole TV show on.
Oh, absolutely. Easily.
Because when you can so easily walk into a place and go, see all these people that you've lost, I've lost them too, we can get them back. All we have to do is work together. It gives enough conflict, gives enough resolution, all in that one interaction.
Yeah.
And we can just explore how differently people respond to that on an episode by episode basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I going into it for some reason thought it was going to be a musical. I guess just because that's kind of standard Disney. And was somewhat not disappointed. The movie was good as is, but I when watching it, I was expecting a musical, so it was way more. I was super keen for that, but it also had no need to be a musical.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that it wasn't. That being said, that was the difference for me between Moana being basically another movie that's pretty much like this.
And
being one of my favorite movies. The music's important, and when you can nail that, it is worth doing. But if you can't, cutting it out entirely is better than trying to put in something that's not very good.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder if it would have taken away from Raya as a character to, because her kind of character is a little more on the stoic side, a little more on gotta nail down and get this done for the sake of everyone, but especially for Dad, who I have failed. The very subtle depiction of that character, I think, works well. And I think you would have lost something if she sang about it instead. In saying that, you could have probably done a great job of that too. So, it's fine as is, but would have probably been fine as a musical too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to see. I don't want to feel like I'm just digging at things that I didn't like about it, but they're the more interesting things to talk about, because, I don't know, the things that I did like were largely just it was very well done. It's great.
Yeah. Voice acting was superb across the board too.
Yeah. Kelly Marie Tran was the main character.
And then
Rose Tico.
Yeah. And then Awkwafina, I think, was the dragon.
I don't know much about her as an actor, but yeah, fair enough.
So good. You didn't like the Kung Fu Baby, Cal?
No, the Kung Fu Baby shits me to tears, I think is the easiest way to put that. Especially when we could have had a... like, because some of those side characters, besides, I think, Boone, I think was his name, the chef kid on the boat, like we pretty much didn't get enough interactions with any of them. Benedict Wong's character, the big muscle-bound, axe-wielding man,
yeah,
was probably the closest to one that actually had... some character development, and we didn't get enough because, like, just watching him, like, take on a fatherly role for that baby was almost worth having the baby around. But if that kid was just a little bit older,
that's what, like, I was going to say. Make it a little girl instead.
Yeah, like why couldn't she just been like just a little bit younger than Boone, and it would have been perfect.
Yeah, no, I concur. I agree. Or even you could have done something interesting. Like, if we're now nitpicking, you could have aged her up to be the same age Raya was when she made that big mistake that broke the world, and then had an interesting dynamic between Raya and her to play on.
That you could have explored across multiple episodes of this clearly superior TV show that we're inventing.
Yeah, yeah. I do agree that there were little parts of the story that you could have tweaked to improve all round. But it was a pretty, you know, again, it was a pretty great film, pretty fun watch. If you're looking for something like kind of on the lighter side during lockdown, if you're in lockdown, still.
That being said, like, I don't know whether I'm just an idiot for not thinking of this sooner or clutching at straws here, but it does seem to be a bit about, like, climate change.
Oh, and I think there is definitely some allegory in there for climate change and the countries of the world refusing to come together in any meaningful way. To even have a discussion and constant deals. And you can even break that down to a more, even on a country level, you know, political parties not refusing to come together and meet across, you know, just to be political spiteful. And... yeah. So there's definitely some allegory in there, I think, for all of that.
Yeah.
And that human, and literally that human selfishness is what creates the monsters. So, yeah.
And that the
very relevant the cure movie.
Is, yeah, the cure being just take the first step, you know, just get the ball rolling in the right direction and trust that other people will follow.
Yeah. It's a good message all around, really. Very relevant.
At least it's a very hopeful message if a little simple.
Well, yes. Yeah, totally.
Which is good. It's nice to have something that can be so surface level, pretty and fun and just all around pretty good, that, you know, that has a has a moral that, while it, like, seems a little bit ham-fisted when it's about an individual, like when it's about Raya's trust issues, it's a bit less compelling than when it's about the world's trust issues.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think would be mitigated by having it be a little bit more about this hopeful last dragon character going around and showing people that they can trust each other again.
Yeah.
That, like, everything's going to be okay. We just have to, like, put our bullshit aside and deal with the problem at hand first.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, like, true.
Then we can start dealing with everybody else's issues and actually explore some of them, you know. And not to say that all the other issues that people are upset about aren't the problem. And not to say that you're not, like, that there's no reason to not to, like, be suspicious of other people. But, yeah, that we can deal with that later.
Yeah.
But winter is coming and we need to deal with it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why'd you
I
say
guess
that?
What I'm asking for is a good Game of Thrones.
I was going, why the fuck did you remind me that that show exists?
And you handled this same problem so poorly.
I fucking hate that D&D fucking wrapped that show up so quickly because they got a contract to make a Star Wars and then got fired because they wrapped up Game of Thrones so quickly and everyone hated it.
Yeah. See, this is why Star Wars ruins everything.
Well, ruin this.
Let's just cancel Star Wars.
If they were done with it, if they were done with Game of Thrones, just be done. Let someone else take over. You don't have to finish it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the guys to finish it.
Or, right. Harden the fuck up. Finish the job you were hired to fucking do. And then move on to making your shitty fucking Star Wars movies. You know?
Mm.
Don't go, hey, my resume consists of one thing. Also, I'm going to set that thing on fire if you hire me for this job. Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, of course you look like a fucking moron for doing that. God damn it.
And they wrote a good season not based on the books.
Yeah, like, it's possible. They just did not give a fuck.
But they, like, season 6 wasn't based on the books and was one of the best seasons. And then they instantly shit the bed.
As soon as the mouse comes in and fucking and offers them a big old pile of cash, you know, just waiting for them, they go, cool, I'll burn down everything I've worked so hard to achieve.
But go make the Star Wars if you want, man. Just say, just people step away from shows all the time and new showrunners come in and take over. It's not that uncommon.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously I'd have rather that than what we got. But just have some fucking integrity. Just commit to finishing your project because showing your employers that you care about what you're doing is more important.
They did commit to finishing their project. They just did a shit job of it. So give it to someone else who won't do a shit job of it. Yeah, anyway, we are so far away from Ryan now.
So off topic. But I think, have we pretty much said everything we want to say about these two movies?
Yeah, they're both pretty fun, good movies, and it was nice to watch something that came out in 2021.
It's just not worth paying the extra $30 to get it.
Yeah.
Right now, I'd say wait till June.
Premier access is steep, unless you're like a big family of like 6 people and you want to watch something new, and you know, that's like $5 a head. That's fine. Like, go for it. But otherwise, it is also fine to wait. And remember,
if you're just one person, just go to the Bay, man.
I was going
to
say no one.
But if you've got a whole family and a bunch of kids, like, get around it.
I was going to say no one's watching paying that premium on their own, surely.
I mean, I hope not. If you are, you know, just rethink your priorities a little. Think how many cheeseburgers you could have bought for that. Roughly 30.
Yeah, they're not very good cheeseburgers, though.
I mean, okay, 3 then.
3 good
3
ones.
3 pretty good cheeseburgers.
There you go. Oh, man. I made
between 3 and 30 cheeseburgers, you could have
I made the best veggie patties the other day from scratch. And I was just, like, God, throwing man. Together shit I already had. And, Cal, I know you don't care, but these veggie burgers were awesome. They were so good. Ugh. I should get some buns.
Are you
going to
give a quick recipe rundown? Or?
Well, it was so simple. So, and you don't really need anything to cook them with. So you get sweet potato. You boil the sweet potato for like 30 minutes till it's soft and mashable. Soybeans. I poured boiling water over them till they were soft. Put them in a bowl together with some flour. Mash it all up till it's, you know, dough-like. I put in a Cajun spice seasoning. Mix that all together. And then form them into patties on a pan, put them in the oven for 10 minutes. That kind of cooks them. And then you pan fry them for, you know, 3 minutes on each side till they're nice and crispy. And oh my God, they're like crispy on the outside and soft and mashed potatoes and sweet potato gooey on the inside with the taste of the soybean, which is really nice flavor. And then the Cajun obviously gives it this nice spice. They were so good, Cal.
I'm proud of you. I'm happy you enjoyed them.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. They sound
that.
Like a
They sound like they'd go really well as a side dish to my steak.
However you prefer to consume them.
What's your favourite veggie patty recipe? Tweet us at Video Shop Pod, I guess.
The thing is, I made them, and I made like 6 with minimal ingredients, and it was way cheaper than anything I'd buy, and it was way better tasting and way better for me than anything I'd buy at a shop. So I'm like, hell yeah. And it only took like 30 minutes, because there's no real cooking. The only thing you got to take that takes time is boiling the sweet potatoes.
Mm. Mm.
Anyway, yeah. We can probably cooking wrap it up there. Good.
Yeah, I think we can. I think we're thoroughly off topic.
That's maybe as off topic as we've ever been.
Tweet us, how off topic have we been?
What's the most off topic that we've ever gotten on the Video Shop?
We're just asking for Matt to just give us a list of just a list of every episode we've ever had.
Do it.
These are the episodes you went off topic on.
Yeah. And it's every single one. Except maybe the ones that feature guests that have their shit together, like Brianne, who's like, yeah, 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 but back on topic. You idiots.
Nah, Brianne's taken us off topic before, I'm sure.
Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. Has Brianne ever taken us off topic?
What's this strange lump on the back of my knee? Tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
On the back of your knee? Are you asking for medical advice on our Video Shop podcast Twitter?
Yeah, Matt, what's going on?
What's up with this lump on the back of Cal's knee? Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. If you're, are you a doctor? Wonderful. Tweet us.
All right, this has absolutely become a silly place. I'm gonna say the thing unless you want to say any other things.
Hashtag cancel the Video Shop.
Have you been watching South Park? Oh, they had a hashtag cancel thing. Anyway, see you nerds?
Yes.
See you nerds.